Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Randy. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethany Church, too. And it's great to see you this morning, especially all of you who are guests here today. And I saw a lot of proud grandparents because, you know, as grandparents, we can recognize one another, can't we? And we're glad to see you here. And I want to give a special welcome. I met a few teachers that your kids invited you to come, and you came. And we love school teachers here at Bethany Church, and thank you for being here. We appreciate you so much. Well, I want to tell you, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we did have a special guest scheduled, Rob Morgan, our favorite pastor and author, and his brand new book, The 50 Final Events of World History. But Rob had a scheduling conflict, and we released him to help a pastor who is a pretty large ministry, and he's quite ill, and they needed someone to come preach for them. And so we released Rob to do that next Sunday. So guess what? You got me next Sunday, all right? And well, thank you. For the three people that applauded, thank you so much. And but it'll be a great Mother's Day, and of course, with the child dedications and those who plan to do that, and still time, it'll be great here at Bethany Church. And I did want to also add my thank you to Allison and to just the numbers of volunteers that really make our children's ministry go and be so effective. And what a wonderful time this morning to have our children really just lead us in worship this morning. But you know, many of you are too young to remember this name, but it was W.C. Fields. And then a little later, it was Johnny Carson who said, "You never work with children and animals, and they'll always steal the show." But here it falls upon me and my duty to follow those kids this morning, and they really did just steal the show. But, you know, one of our values here at Bethany Church is fun. And we thought, as we worked through this several years ago, that we really do value fun, that church is a blast, and we want to celebrate together. And that really should be something that is part of who we are as believers. And many people really don't associate church and Christians and fun. Several years ago, a few years ago, we, after one of our prison ministry events at Eddie Warrior, our church hosted this event, one of the women came up and said, "This was the most fun I've ever had sober." And I just thought that was probably the best compliment you could ever get, because really what she was saying, "This is the most fun I've ever, ever had." And we really want that to be the experience for us as we live our Christian life. But you know, another one of our values we've talked about this morning is kids. And the way we like to say it is, your kids matter to God and to us, and we're going to prove it to you. And so we do our very best week in and week out to love kids, minister to kids, value kids for who they are. That really is part of the DNA of Bethany Church. It's why Bethany Church was really started almost 60 years ago. It was to be a place for children to be valued, to learn about Jesus Christ and give their life to Jesus Christ. And we tried to hold up that value for our entire existence. Now, we value kids because God values kids. And we really know that God does value children. And when you read through the Gospels, you have a few instances where Jesus is interacting with children. You might call these kids encounters. And when Jesus encounters these children, we begin to learn something about what God thinks about kids and what we should be thinking about kids, and we learn a lot from them. And Jesus frequently turned to children to illustrate our relationship with God. And I want to take four of these encounters in just a few minutes and share a few lessons to remind us here at Bethany Church, maybe some of you for the very first time. So the first one is found in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5, I've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark for the past several weeks and months, and we're going to be turning back to Mark right after Mother's Day. But in Mark chapter 5, we have this story where Jesus is in his hometown now, ministry headquarters at Capernaum. We begin reading in verse 22, it says, "One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and lived.' So Jesus went with him. And as they're going to Jairus' house where Jesus can minister to his sick daughter, they're interrupted. And they're stopped by a woman that has a very serious illness. And I'm sure as Jesus stops to deal with this person, Jairus must be becoming a little bit anxious. It's taking more time than he wants to take. He knows that it's very desperate. He's desperate for his daughter. Jesus heals this woman that has the illness there. But then we pick up the story in verse 35. And so while Jesus was still speaking to this woman and to the crowd that had gathered around, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and this is what they said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" In other words, they asked the question, well, what's the point? What's the point of Jesus coming? She's dead. It's hopeless. In verse 36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." And then Jesus gives him this promise that's recorded in Luke's gospel of this instance, "She will be healed." Verse 37, "He did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly." And so you just have to know, in that day, there was a group that were called professional mourners. And so when a loved one died, when someone passed, you hired these professional mourners to come. Even the poorest of the poor were entitled to have at least two professional mourners and a flute player come to their to mourn for them when they died. And so these were people who were there, and they were wailing, crying loudly. So we read in verse 39, "He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing?'" What's the problem? He says, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. But they laughed at Jesus. These are professional mourners. They know dead people. They knew this child was dead. Jesus is speaking metaphorically. Jesus also knows she's dead, but she's not going to remain dead. So we're in verse 40. "After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the three disciples who were with him, and they went to where the child was," most likely the bedroom where she slept. Verse 41, "He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kahum.'" It's Aramaic, the most natural tongue that Jesus would have spoken in. Nothing magical about it, a very ordinary phrase, which means, "Little girl, get up. Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at this they were completely astonished. It means they were just blown away. They were just knocked off of their feet. "He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat." So here's the first encounter we look at. Here's the first thing I think we can learn from this is that kids have real problems that only Jesus can solve. You know, kids have real problems that only Jesus can solve. This little girl's dead. You might just call that life's ultimate problem. And what we know is that Satan attacks families and he attacks children. And the younger, the better for the evil one. He attacks children as young as he can. You know, I live with a school teacher. My wife's a school teacher, spent many years in a school teacher. Many of you are school teachers. And what we've observed and what you know as a school teacher is that you're really on the front lines of what you see happening in the lives of children, in their homes, and in their families. And children are dealing with some very, very massive problems that all of us know that kids shouldn't ever have to deal with, and especially to be dealing with problems that young. We also know that many of us as adults are still digging out of a hole and struggling with issues that started when we were children. And this is what we know, and this is what we believe, that Jesus Christ in the church is the only hope of the world, and as a church, that we have the only real answer and hope for the problems of all people, and especially for those of children. And his name is Jesus, and the younger the better that they know him. And so kids have real problems, and we know that Jesus is the only one that can solve them. We learn that from the first encounter. Here's the second encounter. We find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 46. It says, "And an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest." Now, these are grown men, and they're following Jesus. Most of them have left everything behind, businesses, careers, families, and they're following Jesus. And they begin to talk among themselves, and really they begin to argue among themselves, you know, which one of us is going to be the greatest? Now, many of you ladies may not understand that, but I think us guys really get it. This is just what guys do. Most of us don't say it out loud like this, but we're always wondering, I wonder which one of us is the greatest in this group right here. I'm pretty sure it's me. This is the disciples. These are the guys that Jesus is working with, by the way. I always thought, couldn't he just pick 12 better guys than this? Who's going to be the greatest among us? Now, here's the deal. When you work for Jesus, Jesus doesn't only know what you say, he knows what you're thinking. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to the disciples, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me," or welcomes my Father, God himself. "For it is the one who is the least among you who is the greatest." And so Jesus wanted to teach his disciples early on a very powerful lesson. And so they're wondering about which one of us is the greatest. Jesus takes a small child, welcomes him, and tells them, you need to be like this child right here. So here's the second thing we learn from this encounter that Jesus has with kids, is the way that we treat kids reveals our attitude about Jesus. You really want to know what you believe about kids and what you think about kids and what your attitude is about kids, the way we treat kids reveals our real attitude about Jesus. Now, this is what's kind of interesting to me. Jesus never tells kids they should be like grown-ups. Jesus is constantly telling grown-ups, you need to become like these kids. Now, he's not talking about maturity and development. He's talking about faith. And he's telling us as adults, we need to become like children in our faith, who innocently and totally dependently and without any pretense and any pride and humbly just receive Christ. You know, it reminds me that the burden of change is always on the oldest generation. That as the older generation, we always have to learn to be able to receive the next generation that's coming up. We receive and welcome kids, and how we receive and welcome kids really tells us everything about how we receive and welcome Jesus himself. Well, here's the third encounter. Back in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. And we read in this encounter, in verse 13, that people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place their hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And so disciples kind of consider themselves probably as the self-appointed handlers of Jesus. And so the people were starting to bring their children to Jesus so Jesus could bless their kids. And children, and really in the first century, were just considered better out of sight, out of mind. They really had no really place and stature in the culture and society to speak of. Many of them, especially little girls, were even seen as being dispensable and disposable. But yet they're bringing their children. No doubt the disciples were thinking that we're followers of Jesus. Jesus is going to be the king. These little kids can't help Jesus become king. They really have no value to help Jesus become king, and they're no value to us. They're just taking up time. And so the disciples rebuke them. And I don't know what the rebuke looked like and sounded like, but I can just imagine, because I probably have done it. I probably know I've seen it. You just kind of tell the kids, you know, be quiet, get out of the way, stay out of the way. Don't bother the grown-ups here. And disciples told them to go away, basically. In verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. It's a strong word. It means he was mad. He was angry. He was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter it. Telling these grown-ups, become like a little child. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them and blessed them. And so here's the third thing we learn. That Jesus wants and welcomes kids. Jesus wants and welcomes kids. You know, I imagine Jesus was pretty happy today as he looked down from heaven and saw what was happening here at Bethany Church and could see the kids that were here singing and learning and leading us in worship this morning and welcoming them. These parents were bringing their children to Jesus. The disciples were, you know, they were, you know, thought they were just in the way, and Jesus found out about it and rebuked them. He was indignant, told them a lesson, taught the disciples that attitude towards children really needs to be valued because they're valued to God. Their attitude was something like, well, these children are so much trouble, they're really not worth the time, the effort, the money. They really can't do anything for us. You know, I heard a story about a little child that was in big church for a particular Sunday. It was the very first time he had been in big church. He's watching everything happen there, and the offering plate comes by, and the little child piped up loudly so about everybody could hear him. And he just said, Dad, don't pay for me. I'm under five. Let me tell you, that's exactly who we pay for. That's exactly why we pay for. And that's why we like to spend as much as we can making sure that children are taken care of and learn what they can. Let me give you one last encounter that Jesus has with kids. This is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 21. Now we go towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, it's the last week of Jesus' ministry. And on this particular day, it's a Sunday. He's coming across the Mount of Olives. He's making his triumphal entry. And for the last time into Jerusalem, he makes a triumphal entry on the back of the donkey into Jerusalem. Though praises of Hosanna are going on. As you continue to read the story, Jesus makes his way up into the temple. And what he finds there is quite disturbing to him. He has an encounter with the money changers who have really, he said, you've turned my father's house into a den of robbers. It should be a house of prayer. Has that encounter that takes place. He does ministry there, begins to heal, and we pick up the story in verse 14. It says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priest and the teachers of the law saw these wonderful things that he did. And listen, don't miss this. They saw these miracles of healing that Jesus is doing and the children shouting in the temple courts. Hosanna to the Son of David. And so they could see the miracles, but they really saw the children shouting these praises to Jesus, Hosanna to the King of David. Guess what? They were indignant. They were mad. They were mad as they could be. And said among themselves, Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Well, yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? That's Psalm 8, verse 2. And of course they had read that verse before and heard it. And Jesus quotes the scripture of Psalms back to you, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And they're indignant. Do you hear these children? Do they hear these children? You know, I think like the chief priest and these religious leaders of that day that were self-righteous, Satan's not all that worried about supernatural miracles taking place. You know what Satan is most worried about today? He's worried about children who love Jesus Christ, give their heart to him, and follow him. And so here's the fourth lesson for us. The greatest thing a church can do is reach kids for Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing that we could ever do. Now, it's not that children are more valuable or more important than adults, but potentially, they have a lifetime to impact the world for Christ and the gospel. Entire life given over to him. Satan is most afraid of kids and students who grow up with a knowledge and a love for God. Heard the story of the great evangelist a century ago, D.L. Moody, returning home from one of his revival meetings. And he just reported that this particular meeting at this church, 2.5 people were saved. 2.5 people were saved. And so the person he was talking to replied to him, oh, do you mean 2 adults and 1 child? To which Moody replied, no, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. Because when a child is saved, you've saved an entire whole life. And that's why it's so important for a church to value kids, to minister to kids, to reach kids. And we want to have the best children's ministry we can possibly have and that God blesses us here at Bethany Church. And so there's ways that you can be involved in that and be praying about that. And so I hope you'll be praying about who the Lord would lead to us to be our next children's pastor. We thank the Lord every day that we have someone like Allison who can step up as our interim. And honestly, I can tell you, she's better than about 9 out of 10 people you could ever think about hiring. We're looking for the 10th one, and we have reasons for that, but we're so thankful for Allison and her leadership there and what she's given us, and feel like we not really have even dropped a step. We've kind of picked up a few steps in our children's ministry with Allison's leadership and the volunteers who have stepped up to do that, and thank you so much for that. And, you know, for the past year, we've been working on plans for our children's ministry space, and we feel like we've got great space for adults. We've got great space for students. We got great space that we can worship in. But the one place we need to really step up where we say we value kids is in our children's ministry wing. And while it's adequate in so many ways and we're thankful to have it, we know that for our next generation, we need a place where children and young families will want to bring their kids and we can meet as many children as we can. So we've been working and planning. And while you'll be hearing and seeing much more about that as we go through the summer and the spring, but we want to have the best space possible to reach the next generation for Jesus Christ and to reach them as young as we can. You know, there's so many reasons I could tell you why children's ministry is important. But let me just give you 3 quickly as I close. One's the most obvious. It's important for kids. It really is important for kids. 85% of people who come to Christ before the age of 18. Which means the older that a person becomes without receiving Jesus Christ, And especially as they get into adulthood, advancing adulthood, it becomes increasingly more difficult for that person to be reached for Jesus Christ and to give their life to Jesus Christ. And we minister and reach and try to reach as many people, as many adults as we can for Jesus Christ. But we also know that really the great mission field that's the most receptive are children. And we reach children before the age of 18 to become Christ bearers for their entire life. And guess what? They're little missionaries. They go back into their families and say, Mom and Dad, we need to be at church today. You know, many of you are at church today because your kids want to be at church today. And because your kid's life was changed, your life was changed. And that really is the second reason why a good children's minister is important, because secondly, it's important for families. It's important for families that the kids take the gospel home and they reach moms. And kids are very effective at reaching dads. I think kids are maybe the most effective at reaching men, dads for Jesus Christ and maybe any other person. And then the third reason a kid's ministry is important, well, it's important for a church. It's important for a church. There is life and energy when there are children at a church. I mean, I felt it today. It's just the energy and the life and the hope and the hopefulness for the future when you see kids that are here involved and you hear the noise. And kids, we never think kids are a problem. We don't care if kids make a mess. We don't care if they break things because they're here. And it's important for a church. It gives us hope and gives us a future. And, you know, people are often fond of saying, you know, the kids are the church of the future. Well, that's not quite exactly right. Kids are the church for today. They are the church of today and give us the hope of the future it will take us to. And it's like Jesus told those religious leaders, have you not heard Psalm 8:2? Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe, the evil one, the devil, the avenger. You know, as a kid, we all learned that little children's hymn, and we heard it this morning. Maybe one of the first songs we learned to sing as a kid, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And as we learned it, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. You know, it's been updated, and we heard it this morning, that instead of red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. I kind of like this little change of the lyrics. It's sung, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, every color, every race, all are covered by his grace. And my prayer is for your kids, my kids, the kids of Bethany Church, the kids of this community, that we can reach them for Jesus Christ as they reach the world. I'm going to ask you to bow with me as we pray. Father, what a wonderful day that you've given us to be in your house to worship and to be led in worship by kids, to lift up their voice from the lips of children. You receive your praise, and it sends the evil one flying. Father, we thank you for the children ministry here at Bethany Church and those who so faithfully serve in that ministry, and I pray you'll continue to bless them. We pray for the summer ahead of us and the opportunity through Vacation Bible School, through camps, through each Sunday, that Father, we'll see even more kids come to know you as their Savior. I pray you'll bless in our search for a children's pastor. I pray as we plan and work for how we can have the best facilities possible to reach young families and impact them for Jesus Christ and for children to give their lives to you. And so, Father, thank you for what you're doing here at Bethany Church and our kids' ministry. Bless every family, every grandparent, every teacher, every person that's here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. See you next Sunday, Mother's Day.